Father God, thank you for these moments together. And Father, we drive here in anticipation that you're going to speak to us. We make the journey here because we expect that you have a word for us this morning, that you have a seed that you want to plant in our hearts and in our soul this morning. And Lord, I know that perhaps it's not going to grow into a full fruit this morning. But I truly believe that you will plant seeds in us this morning. I truly believe that you'll grow the seeds that have been planted in us. I truly believe that you will bring the increase into our lives. And Father, so as we gather here this morning, Father, be honored. First and foremost, God, may you be honored through the attitudes and actions of us this morning. And may the name of Jesus be lifted high this morning. May the Spirit of God, may you have the freedom to move to and fro among us and in us, to draw us close to yourself, to bring us close to the Father, to take us deeper this morning. And Father, I thank you for that reality that we can go deeper with you. And Father, I'm anxious and I'm hungry for more and more and more. So Father, I know that you have that same heart for us to take us deeper. So Father, thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for inviting us here. Thank you for what you have planned for our hearts this morning. Father, thank you for those in the faith and in our family and in this country who have gave the freedoms, who have sacrificed the all for the freedoms of this country. And so, Father, we pray that we would celebrate the lives of those that went before us. And Father, that we would not only mourn, but that mourning would turn to thanksgiving. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to learn how to move my magnets to and fro on the podium here. And I got two or three magnets that I can barely get off the metal here. I need to weld like a big handle to them. I can almost pick up the whole podium with these couple of magnets that I have. So if you see me wrestling up here, I'm trying to get the magnets loose so I can move the paper to the next level. So work with me here this morning as we navigate the journey that God has us together. I can remember planting, and I planted a garden several years, many years, and now I just went to raised bed or box gardening and realizing it's a whole new way of gardening, because you can get more in the box than you can in the garden because you can care for it differently. I don't know. Maybe I got too much in the box. We'll find that out as we go, because this is the first time I ever boxed. I call it boxed gardening. And it's not just raised bed, because I didn't want to bend over. So I built them like waist high. So I got these box gardens around our landscape at our house. And I got tomatoes in it. And apparently some of the fodder that I put in was potatoes, because in the middle of my tomatoes, I got potatoes growing now. So I got these free potatoes growing in my box garden. But one thing I do know is when I plant, I need to get, it's very important not to skip portions of the field. It's very important not to skip portions of the field when I plant. I can remember planting my first time I ever planted a cornfield. I was using a John Deere 494 corn planter. Now, back in the day in 1968 when that corn planter was made, it was state of the art. It's different nowadays, I know, but this is a 494. I'm telling you what, we thought we were going downtown when we were planting with a four-row corn planter, and it was a 494. Then they come out a little later, and I won't run the whole history of corn planters here, but then they come out with a 494A. And, you know, that has some upgrades to it, but we had a 494 corn planter. And the 494 corn planter had this marker arm that would come down. It had a little disc on the side of it, and the disc would scuff up the dirt on the next row that you were supposed to be on. And you had that disc calculated so it would run the tractor tire or the center of the tractor or something, so you could see and line up, because you didn't want to skip portions of the field. because the field is there. It needs to grow all that it can grow. And to skip portions of the field is not beneficial for farming. So there's the arm comes down, scuffs it up. That's where you line the front tire of the tractor down to go and plant the next rows over. Because really you didn't want to get them too close because then you couldn't get the chopper or the corn picker between the two. You can't get them too far away. You're wasting ground. And I can remember the first time that I planted multiple times around the field and failed to check the seed compartment of the planter. Now that will aggravate your father to no end, just to let you know. Okay, you can't just drive around the field with a corn planter and making stripes in the field if you don't have any seed in the corn planter. So you need to make sure the seed is in there. And so I learned that lesson to make sure the seed was in the seed hopper. And I can know that we had these little metal things that would go up and down and show you how much seed you had in. And I learned a valuable lesson one day that you don't run out of seed. I knew that I was low on seed, and I knew that I run out of seed, so I needed to go get more seed. So to just pick up the corn planter, drive out of the field, go to the barn, get busy, not be able to come back to the next morning to start planting again, you better mark where you left off. Because now you don't know where you left off. And so just a few rocks or a stick or something to come back in and to be able to drop the corn planter in the right spot to get. I know, I was planning on being right back. I can see the track, but it didn't work that way. I needed to come back the day later to start again, and I couldn't remember where I left off. I want to pick up where we left off last week. And I want to mark. I got some markers out there for us for this week to make sure that we're going to drop the corn planter exactly in the trail that we left last week. Because I don't want to miss part of the field because we need the whole field involved in seed planting. So this morning as we drop the 494 again today and we come lined up, we got some stones and a stake or just an old rag off the tractor or just maybe the crescent wrench and shoved into the ground so you knew where you were going to pick up. I got some markers out there in the sermon outline this morning. The first few points are the markers that we had from last week. And you can see a little wavy line across your down lower on the first column, a little wavy line across. You know what that is? That's where we're going to drop the corn planter today. Those above that are where the markers, so we can make sure that we're starting in the same place in the field that we started last week. So here we go. Let's find the markers from last week. We began to talk about living on the surface, a deeper living versus surface living. And do we want to be surface livers or deep livers? And we knew that we compared that to a bobber on the surface. And we know that a bobber on the surface has to have a force or a power to pull it deep into the water. And as soon as the bobber starts to go deep into the water, we know even as a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, we know that there's something on the end of that on the line pulling that bobber deeper. And we compared that to our lives, that something needs to be pulling us deeper into the walk with Christ and into our relationship with the Father. And we made the argument, or I made the argument, that it's the Spirit of God that pulls us deeper into the fullness of God. And he wants to pull us deeper and deeper and deeper. And we went over these things from Romans 7:24. We started to say, oh, what a wretched man I am, Paul says. Who will help me go deeper with God? This wretched body that I'm in, this sinful nature, keeps me on the surface. And I want to go deeper with God. We talked about that last week. That's just a stone or a rag in the field, just to know where we can drop the planter again this morning. And then we moved in, because the answer comes in Romans 8. And we moved in and we started to talk about how the Spirit sets us free. We need to be freed before we can go deep with God. And the Spirit of God sets us free so that we can go deeper with God. And that's the expectation that the Spirit is going to take us deeper. That's why he sets us free. And the Spirit causes me to go deeper with God. And the Spirit has a desire for me to go deeper. These are just markers from last week. The Spirit enables me to know the deeper. The Spirit overpowers this sinful nature that keeps me on the surface and takes me deeper. The Spirit takes me deeper in the here and the now. It's not just something that's being waited for when we finally pass and this body is planted so a new body can be raised with Christ. It's not just then. It's now. He wants to do it now in our lives. He wants to take us deeper now. And the Spirit causes a personal victory. The Spirit causes us to know that the deeper is personal. It's with the Father, the Abba Father. We talked about that last week. We talked about the Abba Father and how he wants to not just understand or doesn't just know that we have a Father in heaven, but we have an Abba Father in heaven. He's not just taking us deeper into the unknown, but he's taking us deeper into what he'll make known to us. And part of what he'll make known to us is that we are in a personal relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. So over and over and over last week, I kept saying, do not put out the Spirit's fire, because that's the power, that's the force that's going to draw us deep into the deepness of God. Again, from last week, we looked at Ephesians 3:19. It says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And we made this statement last week, being filled to the measure of the fullness of God happens in the deeper. It just happens. That makes perfect sense to me. That if I'm going to be filled, I need to get under the surface. If I'm just going to float around on top, I'm not going to be filled. I need to be deeper. It happens in the deeper. I'm going to be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. Now you should have a squiggly line on your outline. Now we're going to drop. We got the planner lined back up where we left off last week. And we're going to drop the planner again. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Because I can't let it down yet. I know all that truth that God has just inundated me with me, into me the last few weeks of my life. And I know it's a reality. And I know he wants to take me deeper. And I know the Spirit is working to take me deeper. And I know the sinful nature there is endeavoring to keep me on the surface, because if I stay on the surface, I'm not going to be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. So as I was processing even the beginning of this week, I needed to go deeper and I couldn't let it go. I couldn't let it down. So here we go. We're dropping the 494 again. We're dropping the 494 right where we left off last week. And I'm going to make this statement that being filled to the measure of the fullness of God happens in the deeper. Ephesians 3:19 again says, and you know this love, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. You can't contain all of God. The finite cannot receive the infinite. And maybe we can explain it this way. A bottle cannot contain all of the ocean water. All the waters of the ocean cannot, and we've heard this before, the bottle cannot contain all the waters of the ocean, but the bottle can be filled with the ocean water. So that's what he says. I want you to fill you with a measure. I want to measure the fullness of God. You can't hold all of God because we're finite. And God is infinite because we're a bottle and God is the ocean. But he said, don't let that harm you, or don't let that thwart your efforts to let the Spirit take you deeper, because even if you can't hold all of me, I can fill you completely with me. And he said, I want to fill you completely with me. I want you to know the fullness. I want you to know the measure. And I started to say all week, I want the Spirit and the measure, God. The Spirit and the measure. And I want to write a children's book, The Spirit and the Measure, so I could get this truth into our children's lives before they get 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. I want them to know that God wants to fill them. He wants the Spirit and the measure. And those two things are working in cahoots with one another. That the Spirit wants us to be filled with the full measure, the measure of the fullness of God. We are the bottle, and God is the ocean. You can be filled with the measure. Filled with the measure because we can be filled because God is full. New life, God is full. That means he can fill you. And he can fill you and you and you and you. Because God is full. Because God is full, he can give us a measure. He can fill us with his measure. We can be filled because God is full. So I just, as I navigate through this past week, I'm hungry and I got to know these things. God can fill me because he is full. He's not making promises that he can't live up to. He said, I can fill you. I can fill your entire soul because I am full. I am everything that you need. I have everything that you need for life and godliness. I have everything you need. I am full of everything that you need. I am Jehovah Jireh. I can provide everything you need, and I want to fill you. Can you imagine a God that wants to fill, and we can be filled because God is with us? Not just a God who started everything and spoke creation into existence and then just left us on our own, but a God who is with us. A God who says, I will fill you. Let the Spirit take you below the surface. Let the Spirit pull you down into the depths. Because I want to fill you with the fullness of me, the fullness of God. Because I am with you. We can be filled because God is gracious. Aren't you glad we have a gracious God? Aren't you glad that he is grace? He's not just gracious, but he is grace. And he'll fill us because he is full. He'll fill us because he is with us. And he'll fill us because he is gracious. And we can be filled by God because he is willing to fill us. God is willing to take from him and give to you. God is willing to take from his fullness and share it with you and I. He's willing to take us into the deep. Allow the Spirit to take us into the deep so that we can be filled with the fullness of God. And he said, I'm willing to fill you with the fullness of God. With the measure. I want to give you a measure. So just to be honest, I said, God, I want that, but I don't know what. Can you teach me the next steps? Teach me. I want that, God. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. I want to be filled with that measure that you have for me. I don't know how big my bottle is right now. It doesn't really matter. Just fill my bottle, God. If you want to grow my bottle later on, then grow my bottle. I'm not worried about that right now. I don't care if I'm a 3-ouncer or I'm a 64-ouncer. I don't care, God. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. I want the measure that you have for me, God. I want that measure for me. Whatever it is, God, fill me. And I asked and I hungered for that in my life, and I'm hungry for that in my life. I want more. I'm tired of just whistling Dixie at times. I'm tired of just making it in life. I'm tired of just being healthy enough. I'm tired of just being strong enough. I'm tired of that. I want the fullness of God. I want the measure that God has for me. And so I longed for it, I hungered for it. And I read this passage and again in Ephesians. It says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. You know what debauchery is? Debauchery is just continued lostness. You can get drunk, and I know what that feels like in my life in the past. And you can have way too much alcohol, and you can start making decisions that you wouldn't normally make because the alcohol is talking now. And you can be stupid. And you can be extra brave, but I'm telling you what, Bud doesn't make you wiser. Bud makes you dumber. I know that for a fact. So don't be fooled by Bud wiser. It's Bud dumber is what it'll do for you. He said, but don't. You know how that works. Some of you know how that works in your life. You get enough of that, and all of a sudden that leads to debauchery, or that leads to continued lostness. That's never going to help you find your way. But instead, just like that perhaps, or an illustration so you know what that feels like and you know what that means. Instead of that, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit take direction in your life. Let the Spirit start calling the shots in your life. And I was infatuated with that thought. And we know that that be filled is the word. It's an imperative in the Greek. It says be being filled is what it means. Be being filled. Be being filled. Continue to let the Spirit fill you and take you deeper. To be the power to take you deeper. Be being filled. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Why? See, now it's starting to make sense to me, so I can be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. Because if we go back to 3:19 in Ephesians, that you may be filled with the measure of the fullness of God is the same words. It's definitely the Spirit is in cahoots with the measure. The Spirit is working with the Father. The Spirit wants to move us deeper with God so we can have the measure of the fullness of God that God has for us. He's going to pull us deeper and deeper. So the deeper we get, the more that we're filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit control us. You know where the Spirit's going to take you? Deeper and deeper and deeper into God. Into the fullness of God, into where the measure can be filled up, and pushing the bottle completely under the water so it can glob in the top. And so God can move in your hearts, in my heart, and fill us with that measure of the fullness of God. As I ponder that, I can lose hours just pondering the measure of the fullness of God. And to know that God wants to fill me with the measure. God wants to fill me with the measure. And it's definitely in direct correlation with the Spirit and the measure are in relationship to one another. And after I started to find that out in as I studied, I started in my notes, I started to capitalize Spirit, obviously, and capitalize measure. And I started to see, you know, the Spirit and the measure, the Spirit and the measure, the Spirit and the measure. If I'm going to be being filled with the Spirit, I'm going to be filled with the whole. Well, I'm going to be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. Those two are in cahoots to one another. And the Spirit's going to draw me down deep, and the Spirit is going to fill me with the measure of God. The Spirit takes you deep. Being filled with the Spirit, and you will be filled with the measure. I've come to that conclusion, that filling with the Spirit is being filled with the measure of the fullness of God. Because the Spirit takes you deep, takes me deep, and the measure is in the deeper. And I started to write that the measure is in the deep. It's not in the deep, it's in the deeper. The measure's in the deeper, and there's a big difference between the deep and the deeper. Because the deeper is from 1 inch down to 2 inches. And from 2 inches down to 3 inches, and 3 inches down to 6 inches, and 6 inches down to a foot. The deep is, I envision that as deep, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet down into the deep. And God says the measure is not to, you wait till you get down into the 50-foot level. The measure is in the deeper. It's in 1 inch, and then 2 inch, and then 3 inch, and 6 inch, and 12 inches. It's in the deeper. As you go deeper with me, the measure comes in. It starts to pour into you. Let the Spirit draw you deep. Because the deep and the measure, because the deeper is in the measure, and the Spirit will take you to the deeper. And I've written in my, written here and written on my blotter at home. What a phenomenon. What an amazing truth. That happens. And I'm hungry for knowing more. I'm just taking you on the journey that I've been on this week. Knowing that the 494, we got it lined up. We're in the same field. We're in the same field that we were in last week. But I couldn't stop there in my own life. And if I can't stop there, you can't stop there, because I got the trailer this morning. Because God, I don't know. I don't have it yet, God. I want to know more about it. And he says, let me teach you. I found that out over and over and over and over in my life. And I've shared this so many times with people, but I can remember the first time sitting in college in Old Testament survey. And I can remember being in there with 18 and 19-year-olds. And I'm 32 years old. I'm old heck from Tioga County. And I'm sitting there, and the professor, there were several hundred students in that class. And the professor says, turn to the book of Judges. Okay, I'm navigating and finding my way to the book of Judges. And then he makes this statement. It's called the book of Judges because it lists the judges of Israel. Now that might make perfect sense to you. But I did not know that at that time. And I felt this overwhelming wave. You didn't even know that. I felt the accuser. You didn't even know that. What is wrong with you? You're never going to get it. You're never going to get it all. You're never going to grab a hold of it. You didn't even know that the book of Judges was called the book of Judges because it lists the book of Judges. And I almost gave in to that voice. And I picked my Bible up and I went to shut it. And I heard God say this: "You do now. What else do you want to know?" And I want to go deeper with God because there's more about him that I want. There's more of a personal relationship. I want to know him more personally than what I know him now. I want to be pulled deeper, and that means to be opened up to the Spirit to take me deeper, to be filled with the Spirit, because the Spirit is going to sink me into the presence of God, and God's going to fill me with the measure. I'm hoping I'm making sense this morning, because in my mind, you don't want to be in there, and I don't want to be in yours. Let's just make this agreement, okay? I don't want to be in your head. You don't want to be in mine. I'm good with that. But in my head right now, God, he's starting to teach me something. And I shared with the guys on Thursday night group, I've been at this for 23 years studying the Bible. And I read a passage and I'm thinking, God, where have I been all these years that I could not see that before this very moment? And I heard God say once again, go deeper. I've got so much more to teach you. I got so much more for your life. You're never too old and you're never too young. I want to take you deeper into me. And so God, I said, I want to. How does that happen in my life? And just truthfully, God took me to John 16:8. And that passage is about the Spirit of God and how the Spirit of God convicts me. And there's conviction. And all of a sudden, I started to see the filling of the Spirit and the filling of the measure and the conviction. I started to see those things start to work together. As the Spirit draws me into the deep, and as the measure is in the deep, what's the conviction have to do with it? And I began to unpack that and just really pray through that and hunger for that answer. And I found out that in the deeper, the Spirit takes me deeper. He takes me into the deeper. In the deeper, the measure of the fullness of God is found. And conviction is the opening of my soul to the measure. I believe that now. I believe that with everything that I am. That without the Spirit of God, I'm not going deeper with God. But with the Spirit of God, there's a measure waiting for me. Deeper, 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 deeper. But then all of a sudden, the Spirit works in my heart, in my life, to convict me, to convince me, to bring conviction into my life. And I really believe that's the uncapping of my soul. I really believe that is the conviction is the opening of my soul. Every blank on your sermon outline this week, I'm making it easy every week, is the word soul. So there's like four blanks this morning. And the first one is conviction is the opening of my soul. You've got to let the convictions come. You got to let that move in your heart. You got to say yes to those convictions in your life because you've been pulled deeper. The measure is waiting at 1 inch, at 2 inches, 6 inches, at 50 feet. It's waiting for you. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit opens my soul. Opens my soul so that the measure can get in. If I don't respond to those convictions, my soul is not going to be opened. The Spirit takes me into the deeper. In the deeper, the measure of the fullness of God is found. Conviction is the opening to that measure. What a beautiful picture. 23 years. I've been 20 years in ministry. 3 years through getting my bachelor's degree in Bible. And just this past few weeks, I started to put those three things together. Say, God, where have I been? He says, part of the deeper. Let me take you deeper. Let me take you deeper. The Spirit fills me, takes me into the deeper, exposes me to the measure, then opens my soul so I can be filled with the measure. That is a beautiful picture. So I want to bring it together a little bit this morning. That what happens when we start to receive the measure? What happens when we start to have our soul open? Why does God want to open our soul? Why does the Spirit want to open our soul? And if we would study through John 16, 8, we would see that he wants to convict us of sin and convict us of other things, and judgment and righteousness. And we can unpack that at another time. Just the conviction that he wants to bring sometimes is to let something out. And number one, my soul may be open to allow something out. God is not with us in new lifers. Listen, God is not waiting to take you deep. When you get stuff out of your life, taking you deep will allow that stuff to come out of your life. You don't have to get it right before you go deep. You got to be filled with the Spirit. You got to allow the Spirit to take you deep. Allow your convictions to open up your soul. And sometimes, a lot of time, stuff is going to come bubbling out of your soul. Because in the deep, you feel safe to let it out of your soul. Because in the deep, you know what needs to be removed from your soul. Only in the deep. Only in the deeper will that be a reality in my life and in your life. I think that Psalm 51 is an imperfect example of David being drawn into the deep. And we see Psalm 51, we see just starting off with the first couple of verses. And I believe that David is in the deep. I believe that he opened his soul up with the Spirit of God. I believe Nathan was a very powerful word of God that was brought into his life about something that was in David's life that David needed to deal with. And he stepped into the presence of God, and he went deeper and deeper with God. And we see Psalm 51 as the production of that, the producing of that deepness with God, that deeper walk with God. Is David as deep as he's going to be? Perhaps not. But he's in the deeper, and in the deeper, and in the deeper, and in the deeper. And all of a sudden, we see his soul getting opened up because the Spirit of God has brought a conviction into his life. And all of a sudden, we see God allowing stuff to roll out of David. Look what he says in Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. That happens in the deeper. New life, get that. Add to get that. That happens in the deeper. Because until he realized how compassionate God was and how merciful God was, which happened in the deeper, and then he could open up and say, God, I need to be cleansed from this stuff. Take it out of me, God. Take it out of me. Take out my transgressions. Take out my iniquities. Take out my sin, the triplex of the deepest stains in our life. God, I need this out of my life. I'm feeling it, God. I open up, allowing you to take that out of my life. The deepest stains is no match for the deeper. Pain, abuse, and lies are another triplex of deep stain. But look what happens in the deeper. Compassion, a washing, a cleansing is in the deeper. I got to say it again. God is not waiting for you to get cleaned up to take you into the deeper. He has taken you into the deeper. And he will clean you up as you go. And he'll allow your soul, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, will bring your soul wide open. So that that can get out of you. Those things that you know, I don't want that in my life. How do you know you don't want them in your life? Because the Spirit of God has brought a conviction upon you. He said, you need to let go of that. You need to confess that. You need to get that out of your life. And in the face of God's compassion and his mercy and his love, which help it. Please, new life, get this. Only happens in the deeper. There is no way you're going to confess transgressions and iniquities and sin in your life unless you know you're in the presence of a merciful God. In the presence of a loving God. In the presence of a compassionate God. Because you're not fessing up. In the presence of just a judgmental person, you need to know. And God said there's compassion in the deeper. There's love in the deeper. There's mercy in the deeper. You can allow the the Spirit to open you up because your soul to get that crud out of you. Woo. Number two. There's three for today. I don't know where God's taking me for next week. Number two, my soul is opened so I can take in the measure. Because, see, if I don't let the stuff out, if my soul's not open and the stuff out, then it's taking up room in my soul where God wants to fill me with something of Him. And I've got sin and transgressions and iniquities and spots that God wants to fill. God said, let me clean it out so I can fill it with you, with me. With the measure that I have for you, the Spirit's brought you into the deeper. You've listened to the conviction. Let me fill you with what I want to fill you with. Let me fill you with the measure. And maybe that measure, I just got a whole list of stuff. Maybe it's righteousness that God's going to. I think it is. I think it's a general filling that He wants to do in our lives. I think He wants about righteousness in me and righteousness in you. I think He wants to put us in the ability to know and to stop walking in accordance with a moral code. When I see myself not walking in line with a moral code, I think I need to be filled with a measure. That's the righteousness that I need. He said, I'll put that in you. I'll put that measure in you of righteousness. I'll put that measure in you of godliness. I'll make you fit to hold divine characteristics. Just let that sink in for a minute. I'm going to put divine qualities in you. I'm going to take parts of me and I'm going to put them in you. Do you know why Peter walked on water? Because he has parts of Jesus in him. And God said, I'm going to take parts of me and I'm going to put them in you. It's called godliness in the Bible. But we say, oh, godliness, godliness, and we use this in our prayers so much we don't even know what it means. What it means is pieces of God in you. God said, I'm going to do that in the deeper. Let the Spirit convict you and open you up so that I can put the godliness in you, so I can put faith in you, this living trust in God. I'm going to put love in you. I'm going to put endurance in you. I'm going to put this the ability to bear up and under hardship. I'm going to put this knowledge in you, this insight and truth and principles. I'm going to put that in you. But it happens in the deeper as you're filled with the Spirit, as the Spirit pulls you down under the surface into the presence of the measure, and as He brings a conviction upon your life. And He opens you up, and God pours into you. Holy smokes, literally. What a mighty God we serve. Me. From Podunk Corner, Pennsylvania. God said, I want to put me in you. I want to fill you with righteousness and faith and knowledge and self-control and gentleness and holiness. Woo! I'm going to fill you with fight. I'm going to fill you with power. I want to fill you with authority. Christianity, pansy Christianity, is not God Christianity. I'm going to fill you with fight. I'm going to fill you with authority. I'm going to fill you with energy. I'm going to fill you with clout and might and supremacy. I'm going to fill you with power. I'm going to fill you with gifts. I'm going to fill you with talents and expertise and knack. I'm going to fill you with abilities. You're going to be able to do things you don't think you can do as the Spirit pulls you deeper into the presence of the measure of the fullness of God. And as He brings conviction into your life and opens up your soul and lets some stuff out, but then pours some stuff in. Woo! Hang on, baby. I am hungry to run into my Christian walk and not just limp. I heard a story this week. Some young gentleman got serious about his body, taking care of his body. And there's a whole series of things that they went through, just this motivational type stuff, and he wants to give to kids and other people and young men. And just this past year or so, he set the world's record and most chin-ups done in a 24-hour period. It was like over 4,800 chin-ups. And he began to learn there was more in his body than what they thought. Can you imagine being filled with the fullness, the measure of the fullness of God? What you're going to look like, what I'm going to look like, what we're going to be able to do, where we're going to be able to walk, what authority we're going to have, what discernment we're going to have, what spirits are going to flee from us, what spirits are going to say, oh, I know Paul and Jesus, and I know Ed, and I know Bill, and I know Irwin, and I know Ernie, and I know Dave, and I know Bonnie. Woo! Stay away from those people. Because they're filled with the measure of the fullness of God. They have authority. They have supremacy. Because they're filled with the measure of the fullness of God. Because they're filled with the Spirit. And He keeps taking them into the deeper, into the deeper, and into the deeper. Woo! I promised myself I would make it shorter this week. I don't think I'm there. There you go. We have jumper cables if you need it. Here we go, number three. Number three, here we go. My soul is opened so I can release the measure. Hang on, baby. God just doesn't fill you with the measure so you can get fatter and fatter and fatter. He releases the measure in you and into the world around us. He said, I'm going to fill you with these things, and you're going to come out of there. And you're going to come out of that deeper, and you're going to walk in the deeper, and the world's going to know. Because you're going to start releasing the measure. But the Spirit's got to bring the conviction even to release you, because I can spend time with God and I can have this confession with a merciful God and I can have this feeling of love and knowledge and power in my life. And then all of a sudden I come out of those moments with God and God's got me a Walmart and I won't let the cap off the bottle. He said, I'm filling you with a measure of the fullness of God so that I can open you up in this world. And I can let people know. And you can let your light shine before men that they may see your Father, your good deeds, and glorify your Father in heaven. Look what happens in Psalm 84, 5 and 7. Blessed are those who strengthen you. Just so you know, this is someone looking from the outside in at this person. This is someone observing another person. And he, all of a sudden, this person who's in observation, he said, blessed or fortunate are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on a pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of darkness, of baca, of weakness, of junk, of crap in this world. They make it a place of springs. Autumn rains cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till they appear before God in Zion. You know what that is? That's a guy watching another guy coming out and being uncapped and letting that go in his life. Because they're taking this place of baca. God, they're doing some amazing things. In the second and third century, Pliny the Younger was a Roman official. And it was the decree went out to start killing Christians. You need to start killing these Christians, get rid of them. And Pliny the Younger writes a letter we have this in history. We have this document in history. He writes a letter above him. And he says this, I'm having trouble killing these Christians. Because what they do in this community is like no other. They take care of the orphans. They take care of the widows. They have power. Look what they're doing in the community. And you want me to kill them? This doesn't make sense to me. That was people who were taking the Valley of Baca and making a place of pools and springs. He said, you got to let me uncap you. You got to let me put you in this world. The measure. What if he wants, and I got this whole list of stuff. What if he wants to put you the building ability in you that he put in Nehemiah? What if he just wants to do that? Well, I'm going to be a carpenter. I'm going to be a builder. What if in the deeper he puts that ability in you, which I think he will. See, I'm not just talking about spiritual things, because I think for the believer in Jesus Christ, everything is spiritual. We're just locked in this physical body for the here and the now. What if he wants to put the building ability in you that he put in Nehemiah to rebuild the wall? What if he wants to put the, you know, we get this, and Noah's like, woo, Noah built this big boat. Took him 100 years. In the face of all these people in this opposition, he stayed with it. He built the boat. I think that's really cool. But then he was on that boat for months with all animals. Can you imagine the farming ability that he had? The animal husbandry. He could teach. He had a PhD in animal husbandry. Yeah, he built a boat, but he took care of all those animals for years, or for months and weeks and months. What if God wants to put that ability in you? I'm going to go really hard, and I'm not saying not go to college and not learn these things and not go to a trade school. But going to a trade school can never make you a builder that going to deep can. Because God will probably put you in those trade schools, put you in those places, put you in the animal husbandry. What if he gives you the ability to slay a giant like he did David? What if he gives you the parenting ability that he gave Hannah, Samuel's mom? Ooh. What if he gives you the pick-up ability, pick-people-up ability that he gave Barnabas? The steadfast ability that he gave Daniel? The leadership ability that he gave Joseph? What if he wants to give you the business ability that he gave Boaz? What if he wants to give you the gospel-proclaiming ability that he gave Philip? What if he wants to give you the healing ability that he gave Peter? What if he wants to give you the missionary ability that he gave Paul? What if he wants to give you the giving ability that he gave the early church? What if he wants to give you the yes, Lord ability that he gave Ananias? What if he wants to open that up? I found myself this week over and over and over singing the song, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. I found myself at my desk with my eyes closed. And all of a sudden I started myself, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. He will do that as we are filled with the Spirit who takes us deeper into the measure of God, brings a conviction into our life, opens us up to be filled with that measure, fills us with that measure and takes us into this world and convicts us to open it up again, our soul, and spread this among our nation. Whew. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on us. God's doing a work. I heard somebody say this past week, 2 weeks ago. God is not getting ready to do something. God is doing something. God is doing something this morning. I'm going into the deeper. Come with me. Because if you don't, I think I'm going to freak you out. I'm going deeper. I'm allowing the convictions to fill me, to open my soul. I'm allowing those same convictions to open me up and let it out in this world. New Life, you're an amazing group of people. And if you've been at our drive-in services more than twice, wherever God takes you from this point on, you're a New Lifer right now. Mike and Bethany have had kids in their home, foster kids. I still call them my grandkids. If you're here, you're a New Lifer. Let me pray this morning.
Just sent me this solar wireless battery pack. I'm excited.
God, I know that you're doing a work in me. I do. I know it. And I get a feeling sometimes that the enemy's got me hooked into the physical, trying to hook me to the physical more and more and more. But I know that the Spirit of God will set me free and take me into the deeper. And the deeper will fill me with the measure of the fullness of God. God, you're an amazing God, and I love you so much. God, may this words of this truth of this song just sink into us, God.
You're all I want.
That's truth, Lord.
You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are me.
Father, I'm going to say in a few moments, I want that song. I don't want that song to end. I want that song to go with us. I want that to be our song today. And so, Lord, I'm going to open my eyes. I'm going to say amen. Let it be. And then we're going to start seeing the cars back up and head out. May this song, may this truth go with us today. Take us into the deeper. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.